Looking at the subject of the wrath of God mentioned here in Romans 1, verse 18, we see that throughout the scriptures, wrath is attributed to God. You read the phrase, the wrath of God. We've looked at verses that speak of the wrath of the Lord, verses with God speaking, referring to thy, or God's people speaking, referring to thy wrath, his wrath, and then God speaking, my wrath. And after he mentions the wrath of God here in Romans 1, verse 18, and again it's connected with the gospel. He talked about wrote about the gospel just prior to this. The gospel is the solution to the wrath of God. But after he mentions it here in Romans chapter 1, he goes on to mention it about 10 more times throughout the book of Romans. So without a doubt, wrath is an attribute, is a characteristic of God. And that is so as much as any other attribute. People have a tendency to select certain attributes and dwell on those, and we ought to dwell on all the attributes of God. But when we consider his wrath, we need to realize that it's not like the wrath of man. Everything God does and all of his attributes are holy. They're perfect. The truth is, if wrath did not belong to God, it would be a blemish upon his person. It would be a blemish upon his holiness. The wrath of God tells us that God cannot be indifferent towards sin, because God is holy. He cannot be indifferent towards sin. When he forgives us our sin, he's not indifferent towards sin. Jesus Christ had to pay the price of those sins because God is not indifferent towards sin. He's infinitely holy. And therefore, he possesses a severity against sin or towards sin. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness. And a lot of people would like to stop right there. And severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. The only reason severity does not fall upon us is because God is gracious, because God is merciful. Instead of severity falling upon us, goodness is bestowed upon us. That's grace. But there is the goodness of God, and there is the severity of God. It is stated in Hebrews 12, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. That speaks of his wrath. God is a consuming power. God is sovereign. He can consume whoever he wants to, whenever he wants to. Our God is a consuming fire. He hates sin, but he's also long-suffering. And he does not strike with his severity the very moment a person sins, but he's long-suffering. That's part of his goodness. So what is the wrath of God? We've seen that it's been established that wrath belongs to God. We've spent the last 2 weeks looking at a lot of verses that speak of the wrath of God. You'd have to deny a lot of scripture to deny the wrath of God. Romans 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The wrath of God is revealed. It's not something that God keeps within himself. It is revealed. That is, it's unveiled. God unveils his wrath. It is made known. Even when God pours down his wrath, people fail to see the wrath of God. There are times when the wrath of God is very obvious. You and I have seen it. Things that happen all over the world. To me, it's very obvious, the wrath of God. And immediately, newscasters and religious people will dismiss it and say that God had nothing to do with this. God has everything to do with it. And the wrath of God is displayed. The fact that God possesses wrath and the fact that it is manifested, that it is exhibited, this was first revealed when he cast Lucifer and a third of the angels out of heaven. That was the wrath of God. Now, the religious world doesn't have too much problem with accepting God's wrath upon Lucifer and the fallen angels. That was the first display of God's wrath. The next display would be in the Garden of Eden. You have a display of God's wrath. So what is this wrath? Well, it has a lot to do with his holiness. It is, again, his holiness that causes him to hate sin. And the wrath of God is the holiness of God stirred against sin. It's the holiness of God stirred against sin. So when we look at God's wrath, there are some other attributes that must be included in the wrath of God. And I believe though they are part of the wrath of God, they are also separate. Anger is a part of God's wrath. Again, when we think of anger, you might think of someone losing their temper. That's not how we view anger when it comes to God. God's holy, God's perfect. God never loses control of himself. Never. Could you imagine if God were to lose control of his anger? There wouldn't be anything left. But anger is a part of God's wrath. And throughout Scripture, we read of anger and wrath being attributed to God. Sometimes in Scripture, they signify the same thing. But not all the time, not most of the time. Most of the time, they are distinguished. Anger and wrath. It seems to me as you look at the subject of God's anger, you look at the subject of God's wrath, you look at those verses, it seems to me that God's wrath is the display of His anger. Anger is a feeling. Speaking of you and I, it's a feeling. Wrath is the display of that feeling. Because God is holy, He hates sin, and He's angry at sin. And wrath is the display of God's anger. The religious world doesn't want to think of anger in God. But again, you would have to deny a lot of Scripture to deny that God possesses anger. It's a part of His character. But again, it all centers around His holiness and His sovereignty. The Word of God attributes anger to God. Notice in Job chapter 9, Job chapter 9, verse 13, and this anger that's attributed to God, he's angry with the wicked, but we see many times He's angry with His own people. In Job 9, verse 13, if God will not withdraw His anger, His anger, God, His anger. God can withdraw His anger. That's His prerogative. He's sovereign. In Psalm 7 and verse 11, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry. So we read of the anger of God, and now we read God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. God's eternal. Every day God is angry. You better rejoice that He's long-suffering. Every day God is angry. He is angry with the wicked. Every day. Yet that same God sends rain on the crops of the wicked. That same God supplies the needs of the wicked. But God is angry with the wicked every day. What else can that mean? God is angry with the wicked every day. Some will say, well, it doesn't mean what it says. Well, what does it mean then? God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 21, verses 8 and 9. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Talking to God. Thou shalt make them His enemies, and those that hate Him, has a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Now God is angry with the wicked every day, but now we see a time of His anger, so this seems to be the display of His anger, which would be His wrath. The Lord shall swallow them up. That's the display of His anger, His wrath. The Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath, and fire shall devour them. And it goes on. But there is a time of God's anger. God's angry at the wicked every day. There's not a time He's not. But this time of God's anger is the display of His anger. Man takes advantage of the long-suffering of God. Man thinks that, and I've heard God's people talking to them, they have made this statement, well, if I was wrong, God would have stopped me right then. You don't understand God at all if you believe that. God doesn't stop us immediately every time we get out of line. That's not how God operates. But people misunderstand the long-suffering of God. And they look at the long-suffering of God as approval upon that which is wrong. God's holy. He does not approve of wrong. Psalm 76, verse 7. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Again, God's angry every day. So this is obviously talking again about the display of his anger. So it's equating anger with wrath. When he is angry, God is angry. Psalm 78, verse 49 through 51. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger. Now it seems like we have degrees of anger. The fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation. He lumps them all together here. Anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them or evil spirits among them. He made a way to his anger. Again, he displayed his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt. That was the anger of God. That was the wrath of God. You say, well, the firstborn, they seem to be the innocent party. There is no innocent party before God. Why would God strike the firstborn? God is sovereign. God can do whatever he pleases. And that also includes the display of his anger. So it was God's anger that he smote the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. In Psalm 90 and verse 7, this is God's people. For we are consumed, not outwardly, of course, by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Consumed and troubled by the anger and the wrath of God. Verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? We have no experience, you and I, with perfect holiness. We cannot fully comprehend the anger of perfect holiness against sin. But who can stand? Who can stand, or who knoweth the power of his anger? God doesn't always display the power of his anger. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. People don't have any problem with that. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. He's angry with the wicked every day, so this slow to anger is a display of his anger. And plenteous in mercy. Because he is merciful, because he's gracious, he's slow to anger, which means he's long-suffering. But it doesn't. But it also implies that there is a point, and that's God's prerogative when He displays that anger. You might be able to go further in sin than me, or vice versa, before God strikes. That's God's prerogative. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 20. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place. So that's wrath. The fury of His anger being poured out. That's the display of anger. That's wrath. But there is a connection between anger and wrath. Upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. That's the wrath of God. So, you have a tornado, you have a hurricane, you have an earthquake, you have a volcano. Is that a direct result of the wrath of God? I don't know. I know many times it is, without a doubt. Sometimes it may not be. But you cannot dismiss God's wrath when He brings devastation. Cannot be dismissed. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1, and verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger, and great in power. The power there is in context of His anger. He's almighty. And anger is an attribute of God. And will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind. That's that destructive wind. God has His way in the whirlwind. God knows why He sends the whirlwind. And in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. So we see anger and we see anger. It seems like wrath is the display of God's anger. It is the stirring. What is anger? Anger is the stirring of resentful displeasure. Strong antagonism comes by a sense of injury or insult. Holiness is insulted by sin. And being insulted, there is a stirring of God's anger. Mankind gets angry if you are insulted or you feel you've been slighted. You get angry. You may not always display that anger. That's wrath. But you get angry. The stirring of displeasure. Deuteronomy 29:23, we read of His anger and His wrath. And it is in the context of the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroys a place, brings desolation, brings destruction. That could very well be the wrath of God. This overthrow was again the outward display. God was angry with Sodom and Gomorrah. God was long-suffering with Sodom and Gomorrah. God never approved of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Never did. But He was slow to anger. He was slow to display His anger. And again, that's when people begin to think, well, everything is fine. God sees nothing wrong with it. God is angry with the wicked every day. And that's why it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. It ought to cause great fear to think that God is angry with us. That is not something we ought to dismiss lightly, that God is angry with us. People get all upset if they think that a person is angry with them. And that is upsetting. But to think that God might be angry with you and I ought to cause great concern in our souls. And God is slow. God is long-suffering in displaying His anger. We'll stop here, but once again, you would have to deny a lot of Scripture to deny the wrath of God, to deny the anger of God. People today want a God who lets them do whatever they please and is pleased with whatever they please to do and puts His stamp of approval on everything that they do, everything they think. That's the God they want. But that's not the God of Scripture. God is angry with the wicked every day. And eventually He displays that anger, but He always does so in complete control. I mean, He can cause great chaos in this world. He can send a storm that will just cause tremendous chaos, uproot thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. Right. And everything seems to be out of control, but God's just in perfect control. Right. And whatever God sends, whatever destructive force God sends, it's just but a small part of what He can do. People say, I've never seen it this bad. Well, it could get worse. God's wrath is just a small display of what He can do. And sometimes I believe God sends those things just to remind us just how powerful He is. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, that You reveal Yourself to us through Your word. And Lord, we just pray that You would teach us more and more about Yourself all the time. And Lord, we just pray that You would meet with us here today, that You would draw us closer to You. For those that are unsaved, we pray, Lord, that You would save their souls this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.